Visits, submitted by Michaela.
Hey there, me again. I'll try to include the rest of my experiences because I want it all to flow. Hopefully it does. So, picking up after my childhood experiences, when I was in middle school, one of my mom's closest friends passed away from tuberculosis. This was very sad and took us all by surprise. Soon after her passing, I had a dream that I was walking home from the bus stop and saw her standing in my neighbor's yard. She was glistening gold with a long gown and just beautiful. The aura around her was also glistening in the sun. I hugged her. She told me, "I feel so much better now. Do not cry and be sad because I'm happy." Waking up from that dream, I felt relief and shock. That was my first visitation dream I've ever had. The dreams I have with visits from spirits are different than regular dreams. These ones are real conversations that make sense or have a message. The one I had was after a family friend's mother died. We will call her Jay. She had just had a baby at this time as well. I never met the mother or ever seen her in real life. I had a dream 1 week before this particular family friend was coming to our house for a party. In the dream, Jay was talking to me with the newborn baby in her hand, or in her hands. Jay's mother was standing there next to her. I soon realized that I was the only one who could see and talk to her mother. Then she was holding the baby, but Jay didn't know. When the week passed, Jay came to our house with the baby. I pulled her aside and told her the dream. She immediately began crying and thanking me. I wasn't sure how she would take it, so I was relieved she wasn't creeped out, but appreciative of me delivering the message that I interpreted as her mother is aware of the baby and with her and her baby. In my first year of college, one of my friends died from anaphylaxis. This was very hard on me. He had a girlfriend who I was friends with also. We began hanging out more, especially so I could be there for her during that awful time. Lo and behold, I had a dream with my friend in it. We'll call him T. In the dream, his girlfriend and I were swimming in the ocean, and there he was. Again, like my last dream, I was the only one that could see him and communicate with him. He told me to tell his girlfriend that he's okay. He was smiling, and he was himself. He was right behind her in the dream. Again, very relieved when I woke up. Of course, I told his girlfriend about the dream. She said she was thankful as well. Now, this is a normal thing for me. These visitation dreams occur every now and then. They mostly include either both of my late grandmothers or one or the other. In some of the dreams, I'm in my great grandmother's house. I can sometimes hear her but not see her, or see her but not hear her. That goes for both grandmothers. I am always disappointed when I wake up because in the dream I can be with them. It takes me a second to come back into reality. Now, again, I know this is long, but I want to also tell you guys about the haunted places I lived in. Let me know if you want to hear my last couple of stories, and I'll add them.
Oh, right. Welcome to the True Scary Stories with Edie podcast, the podcast where two stand-up comedians read scary stories submitted to us by our fans, the Uglies. This story came to us from Michaela, which is one of our Uglies who have sent us stories before, and she has this awesome psychic ability, and that is really cool to hear about. If you want to send your story the way that Michaela did, you can do it through the Facebook group at True Scary Stories with Edie, or you can do it through the Instagram at True Scary Stories with Edie. Even if you can't send a story, you don't want to, you can join the Facebook group and check out the other Uglies. We post a lot of funny stuff and less spooky stuff on there. We talk about a lot of fun stuff. This is a podcast with commentary after every story, so if you are not into that, you should check out our other podcast called Just the Terror, which comes out on Sundays. All the terror, none of that talk that you don't want. All right, but for the rest of us, we want talk.
Yes.
And talk we shall. All right, Michaela, I love your stories. I'm so happy that you have this really cool gift that you seem like you've started to begun to harness. And you've got it down. When I'm in my grandmother's house in the dream, that means I'm going to be visited. And that's really cool. I wish that I had that ability. It sounds like you have really cool visits, too, with spirits that are, you know, benign, or their presence is wanted. What I mean is not evil spirit. Nick is giving a look.
I was like, okay, benign, all right.
Yeah, not like a scary spirit. So that's really great. I would be on the lookout for, you know, other things, but I don't want to jinx you. But I would just be on the lookout for other stuff, because, you know, if people can figure out once they die, oh, you have this amazing gift, Michaela. I'm just going to come to you to say something really quick before I go. Then other things might be able to see you as a lighthouse. That's like, oh, She can see me. Here I come. So with, you know, with every amazing gift comes some responsibility. I saw that once on Spider-Man.
That's exactly from Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. So happy for you. Sounds like a ton of a fun time.
Yes, a ton of a fun. It sounds like a ton of a fun time.
It's a ton of a fun time. All right, go ahead, Nick.
Oh, I just agree with everything you say.
Yeah, you're going to make fun of me, but then when it's your turn.
A ton of a fun time.
When it's your turn, what do you got? Goose eggs.
Well, I will say this. Obviously, she can speak to people that have passed away that were close to her because they know that she can do
this.
She's
like a princess of Tim. She's like a Tim Burton princess. Instead of talking to birds, she talks to spirits.
Yes, exactly. So that's what you are, a Tim Burton princess.
All right, cool. Anything else about this?
No, it's just send us more stories if you have them. We obviously enjoy them.
We are so looking forward to it. And in the announcements, did I forget anything?
No, but I'll add one. Guys who tried to order T-shirts... my website went down for a bit without me knowing.
He didn't pay the power bill.
No, I actually tried to update it like a dummy and ruined it. But it's been fixed. You can go order those T-shirts, everything from small to 2X. Go to my website, nickguerra.com/merch, or send Edie a Venmo. Or if you need us to find another way to get an invoice to you, just let us know and we'll
right.
do it.
Some people were having the Venmo is at Edrina Bliss, EDRINABLISS. It's my real name. It's not like some stripper name I made up. But a lot of people are saying that they had problems because they're like, well, since I don't know you, it's asking me for your phone number. There is a, right below where it asks you for the phone number, there's a part that says send it without the phone number.
Yeah.
So you can send us what size you want in the comments of the Venmo and everything is tip-top ready. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. This next story is called The Ghost in My Shower. Oh, man. That's where we always think the ghost is. Mm-hmm. And it's submitted to us by Richard.
Hey, Edie and Nick and all you uglies. I've been listening to the podcast for a while now and just wanted to share some weird, spooky stuff that has happened to me. During my childhood, I lived in about 4 houses. And the last house that I lived with my parents was, to put frankly, haunted. Now, weird and strange stuff has happened all my life. But this house just had something about it that was strange. When we first moved in, I was 12 or 13. For the first couple of months, it was fine. Before I go deeper into the story, let me tell you a quick history about the house. It's a ranch-style house built in the early 1900s. It had a farm in the back with a chicken coop. The barn was used to kill the cows and other animals on the farm. When we bought the house, it still had the barn and the chicken coop. Heck, the old owners even let us keep 3 goats they had. The house was 1 story tall with a basement. I slept in the basement with my other 3 brothers. Right across my room was the bathroom. If you were to open my door and the bathroom door, I could see right into the bathroom. Now, 4 brothers and 1 bathroom is not a good mix. So I came up with a story to keep my brothers out of it. I said a kid named Mike hung himself in the shower and would rip out your eyes if you saw him. It worked like a charm. I got my own bathroom while they all had to go use the one upstairs. Now this is when the spooky stuff started to happen. I was taking a shower when I felt super cold for no reason. Mind you that the hot water was on full blast. Then something in the mirror caught my eye. Behind me in the shower was a dark figure just standing there. I jumped out of my skin and ran as fast as I could out of the shower. I came back to find nothing in the shower, but the cold feeling was still there. It only got worse. When I would go pee, I would see it in the corner of my eye. I would whip my head around, but it would just be gone. Other things would happen. My toothbrush would go missing. The toilet would flush randomly. And it was always cold. This continued until one night that I will remember forever. I woke up like at 2 a.m. in the morning to find I couldn't move. I thought, well, okay, I've had sleep paralysis in the past, so no big deal. But then my door began to open slowly until I could see the bathroom door. And then the bathroom door opened slowly. In the darkness, I could make out a floating figure over the toilet. I couldn't see its face, but I knew it was staring at me. I looked at it what felt like hours. It just floated there. Then it just disappeared. I think I fainted or just went back to sleep after that. When I woke up, I found 3 fingered scratches all over my cheeks and arms. At that point, I had enough of Mike. I'm LDS, so I started to pray and read our texts more often. I told my parents what had happened, and thank God they believed me. We had our bishop come over and bless the house, and I smudged it just to be safe. In the end, nothing really happened after that. I drove over to my parents' house to take a picture of what the bathroom looks like with my old room's door open and the bathroom door open. It's in the Facebook group. So what happened? Did I somehow summon a demon or something? Maybe a demon was just waiting in the house for someone to name it? But you guys should know. Anyway, love the podcast. And Nick, you have a really good reading voice.
Ooh.
Anyway, love you all and have a scary day.
Okay, we will as Halloween presses further close. Further close. Anyway, this is what I think about what happened to you. I wonder if there was like a ghost next door that was like murdered or killed himself. And he was over there and like, yeah, there's a ghost over here and he killed himself. His name is Mike. And then he was like, okay.
Well, with me.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, hold on. Maybe I'll come over here now. And then so since you put that out there, something that had a similar experience was like, oh, you talking about me? You talking about me? You talking about me? Okay, I'll show up. Yeah, because it sounds like you, I hope it wasn't just from guilt, maybe, like, hey, I feel guilty, and then because you felt that guilty energy, it did summon something, to that chaotic feeling, because demons, they thrive on that feeling, they seek it out, that's their food, that's their bread and butter, so maybe when you put that, lie out there, they kind of were attracted to the lie or the guilt you felt or some kind of negative thing that came from that or the fear that you put in your brothers is probably actually it because they love fear. That's why they do. That's why they mess with us because they need that fear. They need that to give them power. So maybe because of the fear you installed, it did attract something because when we have the three finger, the three scratches, that means demon. It doesn't mean ghost or, you know, someone who died. That's usually indicative of a demon when you have those odd number fingerprint marks. So it sounds like you called something over there, not that there was a ghost there, to me. What do you think, Nick?
I mean, there's many things that could have happened here. You guys are obviously a very spiritual family. Edie hit it a theory on the head with it could have scared your brothers into manifesting itself. It could have been a demon that was once a brother who had tricks played on him and heard about this and was like, oh, you think you're going to get away with this? I'll show you.
He's a demon. I come from a family of...
Demons?
Of nine demon kids, and they're all brothers.
And they all picked on me.
And I'm the youngest. And you know what they used to tell me? There was a human in our shower.
And I got scared.
Okay, so don't even. Yeah. There wasn't never a human in the shower because humans don't exist. Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, they do. And I scare them now because now I'm big.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I'm coming for you. So maybe that you know, maybe you called over Mike and Mike was like, what's up? And Mike's kind of like, bro, I'm going to scare you, bro.
Maybe even Mike put the idea in your head, like, hey, say demon from the shower.
That's what I thought, too. I thought for a second, I was like, when I first read this, that maybe the demon, he was like, man, how do I get... The guy, our friend, Richard, was like, how do I keep my brothers out of the bathroom?
Yeah, Mike was
and
like...
And Mike was like, say Mike was killed in the shower.
Yeah, and we all know a Mike that sucks.
Yeah.
So this is one of those guys. I'm going to go with the theory that you... Because of the fear that your brothers had of the bathroom, it attracted something to that bathroom. What about you?
My last theory is that your brothers decided to pull this very elaborate prank on you where they hid behind you in the shower and ducked really quick. I don't know if you have brothers that are now special effects masters
okay,
in movies.
Nick.
So,
all right. I think
you just gave a name to a demon and it popped up. Thank God all your parents
right.
summoned it out.
All right, let's get on to... the whole episode. All right. And with that, we are on to today's topic, which is such a good one. Haunted homes. Very classic here as we approach Halloween. So this first story is called Woman Scorned. And it comes to us from Then I Realized.
My dad died when I was 12. My mom had been widowed for over 10 years when she found someone new. Her new relationship was very whirlwind. They went from meeting to married within 3 months. I didn't know much about the guy, but my mom was happy, so I just tried to be supportive. She moved into his house in upstate Virginia. She invited my fiancé and I to spend a weekend in her new home so we can get to know her new husband. My mom's new home was pretty isolated. It sat on a few hundred acres of lovely rolling hills and was very picturesque. I was nervous about getting to know this guy, but really trying to make the most of it. Over the course of our first day there, though, I felt more and more uneasy. I didn't think it was weird, just silly. My mom's new husband was being very welcoming and friendly. We were being made to feel very at home, yet I still couldn't shake this oppressive feeling. I finally chalked it up to me being more upset about my mom getting remarried than I was willing to admit to myself. We spent most of the day wandering around outside, since I felt worse indoors. That night, my fiancé and I showered together. When I turned my back to him, he stopped talking mid-sentence and asked, "What did you do to your back?" "Well, nothing. Why?" "You have a large bruise." I hopped out to try and see it in the mirror. I got back in, and we finished showering in silence, then was off to bed. The one window in our room looked over a pitch-black empty field, but I couldn't sleep until I hung something over the window. I felt sure that otherwise someone would watch us through the window. The next morning, I had a complete meltdown. I woke up and just couldn't stop crying. I told my fiancé we had to leave. He tried to calm me down by telling me all the things that I had been telling myself. My feelings of anxiety were just a result of seeing my mom with someone. The longer I spent with them, the easier it would become. But I just had to leave. It was only Saturday morning and we were supposed to stay until Monday, but I felt completely hysterical. I knew I was on the verge of a panic attack, and my only concrete thought was I had to stop crying long enough to make our excuses and get the hell out. We did. As soon as we were on the road, I felt like a weight had been lifted. I was even feeling embarrassed for my behavior, hoping I hadn't insulted my mom's husband by leaving early. Then my fiancé broke the silence. "That bruise on your back? Did you get a good look at it?" "I had. It looked like someone had touched the middle of my back with fingers spread wide with their hand at a tilt. I wanted to make completely clear, no one had touched my back the previous day, especially hard enough to bruise me. Cut to 3 weeks later, my mom comes to visit me. The entire time she's hounding me to come stay with her again. After finally trying to change the subject for the fifth time, I level with her. Before I even finish telling the story, her face is white as a sheet. She tells me she has been feeling the same way in the house. She hates it. She wants them to move as soon as possible. And the real kicker? Her new husband's previous wife shot and killed herself right outside in the same field our room window overlooked.
Okay, well, creepiest thing ever. Okay, the worst part is me is the big bruise.
Yeah.
Because it's just like something's happening to us. What do you think about this one?
I think it was the spirit of the wife that killed herself, upset that there are women in the house and kind of lashing out.
Yeah, but, and
I mean, we don't know why she did this. It could have been, maybe he was a womanizer.
Yeah, we don't know if, like, this was true love, or maybe he was cheating on her or something, and the ex-wife is like, well, I guess she's not an ex, but the widow wife is like, hey, yeah, I have no idea. This guy could be also, could have killed her. Who knows? Could have killed the woman who's still haunting him, or led to her death in some way, and she's still mad. Women don't forget, even when they're dead.
A woman scorn. I mean, moving another woman into a house, you know, could be very upsetting to a person that passed away that didn't want to, violently, you know?
All right, let's keep going. A curious choir.
When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my family decided to go on summer vacation up to a little island in Maine. We rented out this old house on the water. From what I can remember, there were about 6 or 7 other houses on the island. Everyone else who lived there was in their 60-plus years of age, except for this mid-40s gentleman who fished on the water. His name was Bubba. The island was exceedingly creepy. Everything about the house was really old. Every piece of furniture from that house was probably over 60 years old. Not to mention there was no television, running water was used through a well and a pump, hundreds of books and pictures in the house dated through at least the last 100 years. To make things more creepy, there was an infestation of rats in the backyard that would run around at night. Whenever we made dinner, all of the old ladies who lived in the houses on the island somehow knew. They would show up and give us blueberry pie and fresh-caught bluefish. It was as if everyone knew what we were doing and when we did it. A few nights into our stay at this house, my parents started hearing singing at night. They said that it would start and stop for about 20 to 30 minutes. The first few nights, they didn't think much of it. The following day, they asked around, but they couldn't find the source of the singing. The second to our last night there, my whole family heard the singing. We went outside to find out what was going on. It sounded like a choir of children. It really freaked all of us out. But we didn't want it to ruin the trip. It was just very mysterious. The next day, my dad starts checking out some of the old photos and books in the library. He finds his old scrapbook dated to the early 1920s. The house we were staying in was once an old schoolhouse, and there was a picture of the boys' choir. We left the next morning.
All right, so obviously the boys' choir is still practicing, still popping off. I know it sucked to like be a boy in a choir and grow up, have a family, and then, you know, get old, die, and then be like, why am I back in the choir? Wait, why are we all back in the choir? It's like, don't you guys have families? Yeah, we all grew up and had families. Yeah, we didn't all die when we were young, so why are we back in the choir? Brad? Brad, the guy who died when he was 16, this was your favorite memory?
I like you guys.
Hey, what? I died when I was young, okay? I didn't, this is my happiest memory, okay? So I brought you guys all back here.
And a one and a two. Silent night. Come on.
Chad, you're off again. Just like you were 400 years ago.
You were nine.
All right. So I like the story. Anything else you want to add?
On what you're saying, the only thing I want to say is I wonder if there is such a thing as an energy left behind.
We talk about this all the time. That's what I saw when I saw a ghost. Was I didn't see like a ghost that was like alive and like looking at me. I just saw something that happened before. This is happens a lot with like the Civil War areas. You don't have ghosts that are like alive. You just have like energy that's stuck in time that keeps replaying an event that happened.
Yeah.
You're right. Maybe this is probably the same thing. This energy, maybe these kids at this point were really psyched about this concert or something.
I guess so.
But it's stuck in time, just like when there's a war, when like the Civil War, that energy was so high that the moment gets stuck in time.
There's even ghost bullets.
The ghost I saw was running in my backyard, and I just kept doing it over and over and over again. And it seemed like it was just a moment, like a CD that was skipping, just stuck in that moment, not actually like a ghost, but just maybe the energy left over. So yeah, good point.
All right.
All right, keep going. Pranksters in Uniform from The Bullet Doll.
The house I lived in before my current one was beyond haunted, though we never physically saw anything. When we first moved in, we were redoing the floor in the kitchen and the master bedroom. My husband at the time would leave for work. I'd be left alone in this house with no furniture, no floors, and nothing to do. I can't explain it, but alone in that bedroom at night, I felt the most mind-numbing fear you could ever think of. I could not stay in that bedroom. I bolted out of the house at 4 a.m. after he'd left and slept in my car with my dog until daylight. Something wasn't right. A week or so later, the house was finished. We moved all the furniture in. I began sleeping in my real bedroom across the house. A friend and her husband moved in with us. The boys went away for training for 2 weeks. They were U.S. Marines, leaving us girls to fend for ourselves. The first night, my friend comes running into my bedroom, asking to sleep with me because her bed was shaking. I laughed it off, thinking she was just sleepwalking, but I made room. No more than 5 minutes later, my bed starts shaking like an earthquake. We stayed completely frozen and waited for it to stop. The next night, same thing. Night after night, our beds would shake and we would be terrified. Her bedroom was the one I had slept in when we first moved in, the room I felt the mind-numbing fear in. She refused to sleep in there alone. She said she could hear something like fingernails in the closet scratching from the ceiling all the way to the floor. Another night she went to sleep with her closet door closed and her fan off. She woke up an hour later to her door open and the fan on. Another night she was in my bathroom and I was in my bedroom when both lights cut out. We figured, okay, old house, power outage. We made our way down the hallway and started flipping switches. Every other light in the house worked except the two rooms we were in. I called my father, an electrician, asking for help. Everything was working perfectly, yet still no lights. After 20 minutes of arguing with my father about not going back into that room, we finally walked back into my room when both lights magically came back on. The last year we lived there, we set up a video camera one night around Halloween, hoping to capture something. We positioned it on my kitchen table, pointing down the hallway to my bedroom. The first video had shadows crossing the walls when no one was around. The picture would randomly distort and become fuzzy, then become clear again. We fully charged the camera and set it up to run for the next 4 hours. In the video, you can see my ex-husband and I walk down the hallway, go into our bedroom, and when we turned off the light, the video stops. The battery was dead after 6 minutes of video and a full charge. Months later, we were both having a bonfire with a bunch of my ex-husband's friends. The boys all came in the house to grab some food and beer. Clark was the first out the door and came screaming back into the house. Everyone just kind of stared at him like he was crazy and asked what happened. He swore up and down he'd seen three men in Civil War uniforms standing around the fire. Clark certainly wasn't drunk, but he was scared out of his mind. Activity slowed down after that. Just little things here and there would happen. Whatever it was got used to us, turned from scaring us to playing jokes on the new people who came over to spend the night. Their things would go missing. The couch or the bed they were sleeping on would shake, but my bed never did again. It almost became a joke around the house. We never did see anything, though.
All right, so never saw anything, just felt things. It's very common for ghosts to use the electronics to reach you, like using your radio or using the TV or something like that. I think maybe because their energy, that it's easy to hack into your TV or electronics that are also energy. You know, maybe there's some kind of like, we're this kind of energy, it's that kind of energy, but we get each other kind of thing. So it doesn't surprise me that you maybe heard things, saw things going through your electrical stuff and not actually saw a ghost. It seems like it might be easier for them to hack into these electrical devices than it is to actually appear. That seems to take like a lot of energy. I mean, I think that might be why we see orbs and things that are not full on, you know, ghost. It seems like that takes a lot of know-how, or it's either an advanced ghost or they have a lot of power. I'm not sure what it is, but it seems like it's easier for them to reach you in your sleep when you're young or through any electronic devices. Go ahead, Nick.
I mean, I like a few things in this story. I think that since these were Civil War soldiers, and obviously these are military people that lived in these houses, they were U.S. Marines, maybe the soldiers were like, "Ah, oh, you guys are Marines, we're Army, we're going to shake your wife's bed." Ah, just kind of pranking around, hazing them. And they was like, ah, they get the joke. It's funny.
Maybe it used to be a frat house, and so everyone that comes in gets hazed.
Yeah, I got to haze you. Ah, scary, right? Turn off your lights.
Maybe they think it's funny, you know?
Yeah.
We've had ghosts before that have had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
So maybe they think it's funny, and they're just like, ah, okay, bye. whatever it is, made for an entertaining story.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that they tried on Halloween to get this ghost. I don't know why everyone tries Halloween. I get the energies up. And the last thing I liked is that I imagined when she took the bed and not the bed, the dog into the car, that the dog was like, "This is fun. I like being here with you in the car." And that's it.
All right. Well, let's keep going. Kathy, written by Two Bears.
When my mom was about 3 years old, my grandma and grandpa moved into an apartment on the 9th floor in downtown Columbus. After they moved in, she didn't have many friends, so she developed an imaginary friend named Kathy. Over the course of a year, her relationship with Kathy was getting out of hand. She didn't want to play with anything or anyone else. My grandma and grandpa took her to counseling and to see psychologists, but they just said it was normal childhood behavior. She started blaming Kathy for things that got broke and messes that were made. My grandpa had enough. He went out to get a dog to occupy her time with instead of her imaginary friend. He goes out, gets a German Shepherd pup from the pound, and brings it home. When he gets back, my mother is playing in the corner by a window with Kathy. As soon as he walks in, the dog stares straight at my mom and starts barking and snarling. All the hair on his back is raised. The dog is ready to attack, and my mom starts screaming. All of a sudden, the dog stops and my mom just starts crying. My grandparents are freaked out at this point and ask my mom what happened, and she says that Kathy fell out of the window. After that, she never played with or mentioned Kathy again. Cut to a few months later, they are moving out of the apartment because my grandma can't handle what happened. My grandpa talks to the landlord, and somehow the story comes up about Kathy. The landlord is shocked and tells him that the tenants before them moved out after their 5-year-old daughter, Kathy, fell out of the window and died.
Oh, man. Okay, so definitely we've got a correlation here. What do you think of this story?
I think, you know, there's a few things. Kathy was obviously playing with a little girl. The dog may have scared Kathy because Kathy was a child spirit, a little bit weaker, not a malevolent one. So she was like, okay, I'm not wanted here. You know, maybe a dog growling at that point is like saying, get out. You're not wanted.
Mm.
The only other thing I could think, because she's playing near the window, was that Kathy was about to convince the little girl, the mom, to jump out.
All right. Well, I think you are definitely on to something. I don't want to talk too much because I've talked so much. So let's just keep going. Get off the phone. From Kuma PJS.
I've had a few strange and creepy experiences growing up. The creepiest by far, though, was when I was in high school. It was summer. On this day, I had no chores to do, so my mother had left her laptop home for me to use to pass the time. Our house is an old two-story building that was built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. It has hardwood floors throughout the first floor and carpeted on the second. Because of the age of the building and the fact that the second story was a later addition, no matter where you are upstairs, you can hear and often feel when someone is walking around downstairs. If you have ever lived in an old house with hardwood floors, you understand what I'm talking about. One evening, I was laying out on the floor in my room whilst using the computer. AIM was a must, given the fact that it was the turn of the millennium. I remember hearing my stepdad pull into the driveway at the back of the house. Hopping to my feet, I looked through the navy blue curtains, and I could see the red hue of his burgundy Chevy Denali in the driveway. I immediately laid back down and told my friends that I had to log off. Stepfather was home and was going to be pissed that I was using my mother's computer, even if it was with her permission. Around this point, I heard him set the alarm on his car, walk up the porch stairs, fumble with his keys, and lumber into the den where he heavily dropped his stuff. I cursed under my breath and hastily logged off. Gathering up the computer, I slinked my way to the stairwell, ready to take my licks. However, when I got to the stairwell, I noticed all the lights were off downstairs still. I thought, that's fine, sometimes he doesn't turn on lights. It's his house, he knows where the stuff is. I force a nervous chuckle and head down the rest of the stairs, into the darkness of the first floor. Sorry about using her laptop, she said I could. Silence greeted my words. Odd, I thought. Usually he chides me or otherwise takes me down a notch. Thinking he's in the bathroom, I set the laptop on the couch in the den and begin to leave. It was then, as my eyes finished adjusting to the light, that I noticed it. His things were not where I had thought they would be. My heart skips a beat. My eyes fly to the window that looks into our backyard and driveway. The light is on, but there is no Denali. Fearing a burglar, I rush to the back door only to find it locked securely. Too afraid to do anything else, I grabbed the cordless phone and hightailed it to my room, locking myself in. This is where the experience was taken to a new level. Sitting in my room, panting and shaking as I held the phone, I could both hear and feel multiple people walking around on the hardwood floor. Some people even felt like they were stomping. Realizing that I may not be alone, I thought of the only thing a crazed teenage girl could think of. I called my friends across the street. The first friend was a talker and loved long phone calls. I figured she would never answer. I was used to her busy signal, but I had to try. Punching in the number quickly, I brought the phone to my ear and waited. Three rings, then voicemail. Dialed up the second friend. I felt I had a chance. She was never on the phone. Busy signal. Sure, the third friend, the one I was talking to online, would answer. Busy signal. So I'm sitting there listening to the footsteps and the dial tone. I'm trying to figure out if I should try the first friend again. Static crackled through the dial tone and broke my thoughts as I stared at it. Almost immediately, the static shifted from a crackle to laughter. I straight up opened my door and chucked the phone down the hall. The footsteps got louder. I tried to think out a resolution to the problem. I needed the third friend off the internet. I needed someone to validate that I wasn't going crazy and hearing things, but the only way to get her offline would be to go get the computer from the first floor. Swallowing hard, I threw open the bedroom door and made a dash for the computer. I grabbed it and ran back upstairs. While I was down there, I could hear the footsteps in rooms other than the ones I was in. Rushing back into my room, I hopped back online and forced my friend to get off the internet so I could call her. Retrieving the phone from the hallway, I relocked myself in and dialed up. When she answered, I recounted what had happened and asked her if she could hear it. For listening purposes, I made my way towards the stairwell, aka wooden echo chamber. Eventually it stopped, and then seemed to start back up again. Only this time, lights were turning on. Inching down, I realized it was my mother and told the friend I would talk to her later. After a little talk with my mother, I found out that she had been home for about 5 minutes. This all started at 7 p.m. Even if my mother had been way off and arrived 15 minutes before, that would still leave me with 15 minutes of unexplained phenomena.
All right. Definitely unexplained. What do you think about this one?
I mean, it's a haunted house, old house, scared her, the crackle through the static, you know?
And a lot of people don't know, houses are not the only thing that can be haunted. It just typically happens more often because of when somebody lives somewhere, a lot of their energy is spent there. A lot of their happy times are there, their sad times, whatever. So that's why typically houses are so haunted. But anything could be haunted. You can get a haunted ball, haunted by a dog that loved the ball.
No, no.
Or you could
get... okay.
Yeah, no, that'd be fine as long as it's not barking at night and stuff like that.
Ooh, but think about how it would never get tired and it would just constantly want you to throw the ball.
Or how it leaves ghost poops in your house.
Oh, no, and you feel it.
And you can't pick them up, but...
You see them and everyone's like...
And you can smell them because you can smell ghosts. All right. Anything else you want to add to about this one?
No, it's just creepy.
Very creepy. Chasing him away.
My wife was living for a while in Samoa. A local girl had a strange affliction. She got sicker and sicker and eventually couldn't walk. My wife said she had something like a large tumor at the top of her leg, but when she went to the hospital, they couldn't find anything wrong with her, so they sent her home. It looked like the girl was going to die until a local medicine woman said she thought the girl was possessed. She said she would exorcise the spirit possessing the girl. My wife went along to watch as she had never seen an exorcism before. She basically thought it would be a load of hokum, but wanted to see what the medicine woman would come up with. It started out with the medicine woman putting the girl to sleep or into a trance on the floor. Then the medicine woman stood on the girl's leg, grinding down on top of the tumor with her foot. My wife expected the girl to scream in pain, but she got the shock of her life when the girl started speaking in a man's voice. Apparently, the locals who were present said it was the voice of a man who was buried in front of the house. Most Samoans live on family land, which cannot be bought or sold, so they bury their family members on their own land, not in cemeteries. The medicine woman demanded that the spirit leave the girl's body, but he didn't want to. Then she said if he didn't leave, she would open up his grave and douse the guy's bones in boiling water. He gave in and agreed to leave. My wife said that this was the second really freaky bit. When the spirit said he was leaving the girl's body, all of the local dogs that were lying around in the sun outside went crazy. They took off barking and snarling, racing from the house towards the grave as if they were chasing something invisible.
All right. Well, those Samoan guys though, just won't leave your body. I hate that. Man, I just can't stand that. Well, that's what seems to happen when you have people who are buried on the property, people whose energy is so inside the home.
Yeah.
It sucks that people recognize this guy. They're like, hey, that's Bill.
Hey, Bill, get out of her leg, man.
Yeah, come on now, Bill. No, I don't want him.
It's my home.
Oh, Bill, you're stubborn as ever.
Yeah, I like it. She's like, I'm going to pour boiling water. No, okay, I'm okay. Okay, it hurts.
Okay, I'm going to leave. You know what? That was my weakness in life, too.
Yeah.
I hate boiling water. I had to drink iced tea. I never drank hot tea.
Yeah, I don't like no boiling.
Is it me?
My parents had been turned to religion in November 2004 by a friend of my younger brother's. This friend had invited my brother to a weekend camp, and he came back a Jesus warrior. My dad then went with my brother to see what these outings and meetings were all about. He came back converted as well. My mother soon followed. They gathered all sorts of Christian stuff, began holding prayer meetings in their home, and began stripping the house of anything non-Christ-like. A week after my family's conversion, with me holding back because this place sounded like a huge cult, weird things began to happen in the house. I still lived with my folks at the time. We had just moved my grandma in to help her deal with my grandpa's death, unrelated to the story, just background info. My bedroom was in the basement. Everyone else's bedrooms, the bathroom and kitchen were all upstairs. At night, I began to hear noises that sounded like someone walking up and down the stairs. I was a little creeped out, but dismissed it as the wind or the house settling noises. Soon I took no notice of it. Then the problems began to escalate. Our VCR, stove clock, cable box, etc. would randomly flash 666 or 999 and then go back to showing the normal time. The television would try to go to channel 666, which usually ended up going to 66, then 6. I shouted at whatever it was to stop one day. The TV just turned right off. My entire family was in the room to witness this. The prayer fest and Bible read that resulted was quite epic, with my parents getting extremely angry that I would have none of it. I was quite fascinated with all this and had never experienced anything paranormal before. It was scary, but it was just so interesting as well. Soon we could tell the television to turn on and off. My parents yelled Jesus' name at it a bunch, placed a Bible on top of the TV, and forbid anyone from touching it. It would turn itself on, but my parents tried very hard to ignore it or would immediately switch it back off. A few more days passed. Now it was affecting my brother's stereo. The prayer group would come over, assemble in the living room, and begin to pray. Suddenly, the stereo would turn on, volume blasting heavy music or static throughout the house. Too scared to touch the actual stereo, my brother unplugged it from the wall and silenced the menace. My parents said goodnight to the church group, but we all departed the house. We went out for dinner at a local white spot. When we returned, all the candy from the dish on the kitchen counter was arranged in a cross on the stove. Not an upside-down cross one or anything like that, just a cross. My mother, obviously distressed, cleaned up the candy and decided that everyone had to turn in early that night. Her and Dad helped Grandma to bed, then stayed up to read their Bibles. I retired to my room to browse the internet before falling asleep around 2 a.m. I went to work the next day as normal. When I came home, I found my room had been tossed. I angrily asked my parents what was going on. They told me that the church group had come over and gotten rid of all the horrible things I had that were causing angry spirits to stay in the house. These horrible things were thrown out and or burned. There were 6 years of sketchbooks, my movie posters, mystery novels, alternative religion books. I had an interest in New Age hooey back then. And my little ceramic animal figurines. I was furious and called a friend to let me stay at their place that night. The next day after work, I returned home to try and speak some sense into my parents. I was angry, but they were still my folks. I called to let them know I was returning, then arrived a few hours later. We sat down to talk. Suddenly, church people emerged from the bedrooms and began chanting psalms and sprinkling oil all over me. I yelled in surprise and stood up. My mother hugged me and began whispering, "Oh, thank you, Jesus," over and over. I tried to break away, now really angry and somewhat scared about these crazy people, what they could do to me since they obviously thought I was possessed or something. Suddenly, the candy dish flew from the counter and embedded itself in the far wall. The TV turned on full blast. A picture of my parents was flung off the wall, striking my younger brother on the head. Mom finally let me go. I ran for the stairs, pausing when I heard a noise in the hall to my left. Pictures began falling off the wall in sequence, one after another, as if someone was walking towards me and knocking them down as they came down the hall. I made a noise in my throat, but found I could not scream. I ran down the stairs and out the front door. Behind me, the wardrobe we had in the entryway swung away from the wall and against the bottom of the stairs, blocking anyone else from escaping except out the back door and down the porch stairs. I called the same friend in a panic, begging her to come and get me. She arrived a half hour later. I went to her place with nothing but the clothes on my back. I called my parents a week later. Apparently, they had the church group do a cleaning and everything had slowed down. However, they did not want me coming back and damning the house again. My friend brought me back long enough to pack a bag. I moved out of my parents' house that day. My parents and I are on speaking terms again, have been since March 2010. They still hear footsteps and such, but nothing like what happened before. They got rid of the old TV. My old room is now my brother's room. Nothing weird happened in the few years I lived with my friend. However, my new apartment has had some creepy things happen. It appears I may have been damning the house after all.
All right. I didn't realize that was the end. Okay, well, I mean, if you were damning houses, I wouldn't invite you over to my place. it's a weird thing for your parents. But, you can't come back until you're not... you can't damn a house again. So don't come back until you got yourself cleaned up.
Are you done with them demons?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about this, besides that?
Well, I think it's a mix of spirituality. Obviously, the parents all found a new... you know, religion. Mm-hmm. So maybe a spirit was incensed by that and also saw them as the weaker of spiritual since they were just new.
Right. And I think it's good that they started praying and doing all that kind of stuff right away, because just having like spiritual grounding seems to get rid of these kinds of things, whether that's doing the smudge or it's, you know, praying or keeping a blessed artifact, it does seem to affect them in a way. Or it's keeping a little man, a little guy. Either way, that it does seem to have an effect. So good on them.
Yeah, and I think the fact that the person that wrote this, that experienced it, their unwillingness let whatever spirit was in the house have a safe space.
Mm.
To like, okay, well, I'm hanging around because one person in here doesn't want me out, and that's enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's what, I mean, really, it's enough for one person to be possessed is something to, you invite it.
Yeah.
So it does, it's not like the entity is waiting for a vote, you know?
Yeah.
If one person is there and they're doing it, he's going to be around. Or she, or she, sorry. It could be both. All right, let's keep going. Didn't see it. From Colorado.
When I was 3, my family had just moved into a new house. And I mean brand spanking new. We were the first people on our street to move in. They didn't finish building all the houses until a few weeks after we moved in. One night when I was about 4, I woke up in the middle of the night. This was around the age where I was sure if I thought long and hard enough that I could get X-ray vision like Superman. Whenever I'd wake up in the middle of the night, that's what I'd try to do. I'd sit there in bed for 10 to 15 minutes trying really hard to see through walls or my dresser or even just the back of my hand before eventually giving up and just going back to sleep. This particular night wasn't any different from any other. I woke up, saw the Toronto Blue Jays clock on my wall, saw it was around 1 a.m., and went to work trying to see through the back of my hand. About 5 minutes into my routine, I heard what sounded like a whisper. I thought maybe it was my sister who was just a year older in the next room. I kept on trying my best to see through something until I heard a man call my name. I sat there frozen in fear. I didn't know who it was. My father at the time worked the night shift and didn't get home until 4 a.m. most days. The voice laughed at me. It said it was going to get me. The silence for the next 5 seconds until I screamed bloody murder. I woke everyone up in the house. My mom ran into my room and asked me what was wrong. I was crying hysterically. She sat with me for what must have been close to half an hour until I calmed down and was able to tell her what happened. I asked if it was Dad and why he would be playing such a mean joke on me. She said he was still at work and that I must have been dreaming. The thing about the whole ordeal about how I was terrified I was is that I never again felt comfortable in that house. I never again slept with my door closed. At least once a week, for years, I would wake up and just yell for my mother because something didn't feel right. It turned me from a self-assured child into a child that was afraid of everything. To this day, I'm not sure if it was my father or not. My mother said it wasn't. But the house was brand new. The land it was built on used to be farmland. There's nothing else on that land but massive fields of crops. My parents still live in that house. Nothing like that voice ever happened again. But if I'm over there at night, that room still gives me creeps. I never did get X-ray vision, in case you were wondering.
I was wondering. That was actually exactly what I was wondering. I was like, did? But the real question, did he get X-ray vision? I think if he had gotten X-ray vision, the story would have started out as, hey, this is how I got X-ray vision.
Yeah, and it was so cool.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be able to see girls naked. Turns out I can just see their bones.
Oh, and it's not as cool.
Yeah, not even their organs. I can't even see their tissue, their fat tissue, to see, like, you know, the inside the butt.
But I'm kind of into the bones now. It's weird.
Yeah, and, like, sometimes I can see, like, poop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so only if it's, like, really dark and hard poop. But, yeah, so I'm a poop guy now. I'm into poop.
It's got to be in there for a while.
This is a very mature podcast. I don't know if you have ever listened to this podcast. It's a very highbrow scientific talk.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about this?
I mean, you know, obviously this poor kid, or, you know, I don't know who he is now.
Just wanted some X-ray vision.
Just
like,
wanted.
Like all of us.
I wonder maybe if he was like tuning into something and then some other dimension being was like, oh, we got to stop him. His power is growing.
Yeah.
Like maybe just the fact that he was focused on it. They're like, this kid's trying to do something otherworldly. Get
to
him.
All right. Well, let's keep going. Where does the time go? We are already on the last story, and it is a doozy. I'm so excited. Before we get to the last story, don't forget to join the Facebook group after this and follow us on Instagram. I post some really funny stuff up there and spooky, too. And also, give us 5 stars after this. What's wrong with you? The podcast is free, and people go on there, even though it's free, and they say mean things. Like, we charge them. I mean, it's not very often. It's like 1 in every 100, but they still do it, okay? It's free. What can you do to help us? Give us 5 stars. We do it for free. You get it. All right. Besides that, don't forget about the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. They are available at Nick's website, which is
nickguerra.com/merch.
Okay. And you can also Venmo me at Idrina Bliss, EDRINA Bliss. It is $22. That includes shipping. And we have all the sizes. Unless you're like 9X, then you're on your own.
Yes.
Or unless you're like negative XS.
Unless you're very small.
Yeah, you're on your own. We don't fit babies, okay? Mm-hmm. Or dogs. So anyway, that, anything else?
One more thing about the shirts. Just, yeah, go to the website. And if you have any extra notes, I just got an order. Somebody ordered 2 shirts, and they want us to autograph them. And, of course, we're going to. So if you order them and you want something like that, let us know. We're going to put in a whole bunch of cool
stuff.
Right.
But if we do sign these and we die, we do have the ability to haunt them. If
yes.
we did autograph them, because that is our energy through
yes.
that autograph. So just be wary. If we die, we might haunt you. All right. This last story is called They Still Live There. And it comes to us from The Lizard.
In Winter Harbor, Maine, there is a huge, really old house. It's very well kept and is absolutely beautiful. Or it would be if it weren't for the fact that every person I've ever known to see it has felt an overwhelmingly and irrational, why is that so creepy vibe from it. The first time I saw the house, it made me feel like the house was an old creepy guy staring at me on the subway. 7 years ago, a very wealthy family moved into the house. It's a husband and a wife, their 2 daughters who are roughly 7 and 9. The house is way too big for them, but that's neither here nor there. Before I go on, I need to explain to you a little bit of the history of the house. The man who built it was a very wealthy man. He built it as a vacation house of sorts. Even then, it was a mansion. It's been expanded on over the years, although even the newest part of the house is at least 60 years old. After building the house, he eventually sold his house in southern New England and moved his family up to beautiful mid-coast Maine. His family consisted of his wife, 2 daughters, and his elderly mother who died soon after. Family lived happily in the house for a long time, until eventually a sickness came to the area. Over the course of 2 years or so, the sickness took every member of the family. Back to the present. One day my friend is babysitting these 2 adorable little girls who live in the house now. One is a strawberry blonde, the other is a dark color redhead. She met these girls in town before, and they've always been kind of quiet but perfectly nice, sweet girls. She says the second she walked in the foyer where the girls were waiting with their parents, her inner voice started screaming, "Get out of this house!" The parents were perfectly pleasant and normal as always, but the girls were giving just straight creepy vibes. The mother informs her that the girls want to go play down by the shore at the boathouse that is on the property. It's actually quite far away, and though through a small section of woods, since it's on the way to where the parents are going out to dinner, the parents will drive them there, and then the girls can lead her back through the woods, which is quicker than the road if you're walking. They know the way. They've been there a million times, both accompanied and unaccompanied. So they all pile into the car and drive down to the shore. It's summer and only about 5. They stay at the boathouse for a few hours. My friend wants to get back to the house before dark. She calls a kid and tells them it's time to go back. The girls just stare at her blankly. My friend got the get away now vibe again. She's obviously pretty weirded out by this and goes, girls, did you hear me? Let's go back. The older girl looks at her confused and says, okay, how? What do you mean how? Your mother said you knew the way back to the woods. We've never been here before. What way through the woods? My friend just stares at them, trying to figure out if she's being pranked or not. The older girl keeps looking confusedly at my friend while the younger one maintains a dead blank stare, saying nothing. My friend is really freaked out now but decides, okay, fine, they don't know the way back. They'll walk home following the road. When they get home, she puts the kids to bed. She spends the rest of the night waiting for the parents huddled in a blanket in the living room. She was getting bad vibes from the kitchen. When the parents got home, she bolted out of there. But wait, there's more. One day, the mother of those two girls is looking through the house after living there a few months. It's literally so big with so many redundant rooms. There are parts of the house she has never been in before. She walks into a sitting room type area with a gorgeous fireplace and mantle in it. Above the mantle is a very high quality oil painting of her two little girls. She's puzzled by this, but assumes that her husband, who pretty much handles all the money, had it done. Later that night, she asks him about it. He has no idea what she's talking about. She shrugs it off as nothing. A few weeks later, they have a bunch of people from the community over for dinner, one of which considers himself an expert on local history and lore. She mentions the painting to him. He's never met the little girls. They were visiting their grandmother at this moment, and he just arrived at his summer home in town recently. He informs her that the painting is of the original owner's daughters. She continues to stare at the painting, and the more she stares at it, the more she is sure it is a spitting image of her daughters. And they still live there.
All right. So, they still live there. What do you think?
I mean, it's frightening to see a painting that looks like your daughters, but they're they're dead girls. I mean, I don't know. It's a weird happenstance.
Do you think it's coincidence, or do you think that it is the devil? Do you think it's the devil himself, or do you think it's just coincidence?
I don't know. I don't know if these are the girls manifested again, and maybe that's what brought them to the house.
Right. Well, what do these girls look like? Because these are pretty basic looking girls. There's brown hair.
It said red. No,
brown
red.
Eyes.
Let me see here. I'll find it.
They did tell
strawberry
us.
Strawberry blonde, dark colored redhead.
Oh, that's definitely very rare.
Yeah.
So no. Okay. Well, then it's not happenstance. I'm going to say it's not a coincidence, because usually paintings, they don't feature redheaded people.
Yeah.
So I mean, because usually when people paint something, they paint it for, people that they look like. Like, hey, I look like this, so I draw people with brown hair because I have brown hair or whatever. So that seems like it is something actually trying to communicate, right?
Yeah, and maybe, like I said, the spirits manifest into these girls that brought them, in coincidence into this house again, which has happened, like Robert the Doll kind of thing. And maybe the spirits enjoyed going to the shore, and they kind of took over the twins' brains. Like, we're gonna go play at the shore,
and
that's why the twins didn't know how to get back home.
Twins are very creepy. They might have just been like, well, they are redheaded, but they are twins, so let's do something about it. Do you think twins are no? Twins have always been creepy. I was gonna ask you if The Shining made twins creepy, or if they were always creepy. And I think they were always creepy because they look the same, and that's weird.
Well, yeah, and there's,
it's eerie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I don't have anything. I don't think it's gross or anything, but it's weird.
That would be fun. It's gross. Yeah, stop looking like her.
I'm against twins, okay? No twins better be, no identical twins better be listening to but it is creepy, when the parents dress them alike. And
oh, yeah.
It is
that's the problem with twins.
It's creepy because it's so not understood.
Yeah.
It's do you guys have a, can you read each other's thoughts?
Some of them can.
Yeah. Well, they say that. Who knows if that's true? What do you think?
I mean, there's these stories of creepy twins.
If I was a twin, I would definitely tell people oh yeah, we can read each other's thoughts, and we dream the same dream. We have dreams, and we both are in the dream together, and we remember before we were born. We remember being in the womb. Yeah, we remember.
And then Twin Edie would be like, yeah, no, we're like that.
Yeah. And then my sister would be like, that's what we do. We're and sometimes I wake up and I'm laying on top of her, and we're moving at as the same one.
Yeah, I'm floating above her. Yeah, I've seen her float.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I would do. So I don't know. Can they really read each other's thoughts?
So do you think these twins painted the painting themselves and hung it up? Oh, we found this room.
Twins are creepy. Maybe
they're let's put a painting up there.
Twins are, you know what? I'm against twins. I was hiding it before. I'm against twins. I hate twins. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, paintings have a history of being creepy. There's lots of paintings like the Crying Boy, where every place that there was one of these Crying Boy paintings burned down, right?
Yeah.
But the painting didn't burn.
Yeah.
Which through further research, I found out it was because of this varnish they used to put on the paintings. Anyway.
There's always a little bit of science.
There is The Hands Resist Him. If you guys, after this, get a second, look up The Hands Resist Him. It's this really creepy painting that moves. So everybody who's had this painting has said the characters move. The two kids in the paintings fight. They fight.
They say
that at night, sometimes the kids come out of the painting. Mm. And the painting itself is really creepy. And there's like a bunch of hands like pressed up against this glass. And it's like these kids are in front of the glass. It's a very creepy painting in the first place, but it comes with a creepy history as well. So paintings, creepy. Twins, creepy. Redheads, creepy. All right.
Then we got all that. Everything was in Maine. Maine's
Maine,
creepy.
Maine. Yep. Maine. You know why they call it Maine? Because it's the main place where creepiness happens.
Yes. And rich people, very creepy. They never want to admit.
Yes.
Yes.
And old women, creepy.
Old women, creepy.
Children, creepy.
Yep.
People with long black hair, creepy.
Lots of rooms, creepy.
So really, the only hair color that's acceptable to have is blonde hair, because long dark hair, creepy. Because I have long dark hair. And I'll tell you personally, very creepy.
Children of the Corn, platinum blonde hair,
scary.
Oh, okay,
okay. Yeah, you're right. And a lot of the black-eyed children, they are platinum. So just sandy blonde is the only
James Charles, creepy.
Yeah, yeah. But that white blonde hair is creepy. Aliens, I've seen aliens. And they're described as having white blonde hair.
What's more creepy to you? Platinum blonde hair or bad dyed blonde hair, like, you know, PewDiePie, like it's a mess.
PewDiePie? Oh, yeah, I've never talked about that here. I didn't even know you knew what that was. Platinum blonde.
Okay.
It's like, it looks like it's like clear.
Yeah.
And you can like see through it. And then the eyelashes,
yeah.
It's mostly because of the eyelashes and the eyebrows that come with somebody who has platinum blonde hair.
Mm.
Like the PewDiePie guy, when it's just a bad dye job, they still have eyebrows that are brown and brown eyelashes. But when you have these platinum blonde people, they have these blonde, like, fishing line eyelashes that look like fishing line, and then their eyebrows non-existent.
Oh man, we have offended so many people in the last part of this.
And we don't like dogs.
Yeah,
we hate dogs. And
the only cool people, cholos.
Yeah, and we don't like tall people, and we don't like people who wear Skechers.
Yeah.
Although I want a pair of Skechers. All right, guys. We love you. Thank you so much unless you're tall. No. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to True Scary Stories with Edie. Go buy a shirt, and we'll see you on the Facebook group, True Scary Stories with Edie. And this is now the time, right now, this moment, right now, to give us 5 stars, because this podcast is free.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Love you. Bye.